أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome back to Living the Quran through the Living Quran. In this series, we've been reviewing chapter number 53, Surah An-Najm, the chapter of the star. And in this discussion, which is part number 11, under the theme of vast forgiveness, of verse number 32, this is our third episode in trying to understand verse number 32. And you'll recall from our previous discussion that we were looking at the topic of sins, some of the major sins, and then we went into the topic of not attributing piety or proximity to ourselves, to being humble, basically. Today, we want to look at the topic of some sins or some discussions about sins and disobedience to God. Whatever level and form of disobedience of God which takes place is to be considered as something major. However, with that said, we must realize that all sins are not at the same level of severity. Some sins, such as lying and backbiting, have a greater level of depravity associated to them and have a much painful punishment associated to them relative to other sins. In addition to this, the time when the sin is performed, the place in which it was performed, the intention of the sinner, his knowledge or lack thereof in regards to the sin, whether the person continues to perform that sin or it was a one-off, all of these play a role in that sin. The true worth of each person is measured in how much spiritual strength they have in the face of sins. And so if a person commits a sin to get an ounce of gold, then his spiritual worth is that 1 ounce. And if a person commits a sin to get 100 ounces of gold, then their worth is really only that 100 ounces. And in this regards, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has been quoted as saying that I swear to God that if the entire creation were to be given to me in exchange that I were to perform the sin of taking 1 grain of barley from the mouth of an ant, I would not do so. This beautiful saying is found in Nahjul Balagha in sermon number 224. In addition to this, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has also said that أَشَدُّ الذُّنُوبُ مَسْتَخَفَّ بِهِ صَاحِبَهُ. The most severe of sins is the one which the person who performs it takes lightly. In addition, we read in the traditions that the friends of the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, are those who obey Allah, who obey God, even if they are distanced from him, from the Prophet, in terms of genealogy. And indeed, the enemies of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, are those who disobey Allah, who disobey God, even if they are closely related to him, closely related to the Prophet, that is. Now, let us look at the topic of converting a minor sin to a major sin. That is that actually possible? Can a minor sin actually be transformed into a major sin? Well, we can say this, that there are some actions and conditions which, if they are present at the time of sinning, that they can actually convert a minor sin into a major sin. And from these conditions, we list the following 7. Number 1 is to continuously perform minor sins. Number 2, considering the sins in general as being trivial, as being irrelevant. Point number 3 is expressing joy and pleasure when sinning. Point number 4 is that sinning by means of intentionally wanting to break the laws of God. The 5th point is having pride and arrogance at the fact that God gives his servants a reprieve when they sin, and that he does not punish them immediately. The 6th point of how a minor sin is transformed to a major sin is by performing sins in the open. And point number 7 is that sinning by elderly people and people of a respectable status in the society, that converts their minor sins into being considered by God as being major. Now, what are some of the outcomes or effects of the sins? Is it just an action that a person performs, or does it actually have other ramifications in their day-to-day life? Let us list the following 14 effects that sins have on the human being. Number 1, hardness of the spiritual heart. Number 2, the removal of divine blessings. Number 3, the rejection of one's supplications to God. Number 4, having one's sustenance substituted. Number 5, being blocked from the performing of some acts of worship, such as the night vigil, Salatul Layl. Number 6, unforeseen tribulations. Number 7, the stoppage of divine blessings, such as rain. Number 8, the destruction of one's property, such as their house. Number 9, being plagued with scandals and humiliation in society. Number 10, shortening in one's lifespan. Number 11, earthquakes and natural disasters. Number 12, poverty and destitution. Number 13, grief and various other types of sicknesses. And number 14, having wicked people take charge over them. It must be noted that for each of these effects of sinning, there are verses of the Quran and a hadith which confirm each and every one of them. Now let us take a pause here as we reflect on these actions that have the potential to destroy us at a spiritual level. And these are all the effects that sins have on the human being. We will pause and come back in our next discussion, in our next episode, where we look at the topic of how to recompense for the sins that we perform. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.